Well, while the firefighters keep up the fight, relief workers have their work cut out as well. The Well Today Sam Donovan is at a relief centre at Whittlesea, northeast of Melbourne, where hundreds of people have gathered after fleeing the fires at Kinglake. And Sam joins us on the phone now. Well, what's the picture there?
Oh, Brendan, it's a scene, I'd have to say, of great despair and dread, I would have to say. I'm standing out looking at the crowd milling in front of the activity centre here, which has been set up as the relief centre. Walking through, you see lots of people in tears, lots of people hugging each other. I saw a woman who looked a bit teary, but she looked okay, and I walked up and asked her how she was going, and she told me that it had just been confirmed that her 18-year-old nephew has been found dead in the fires, along with a couple of his mates. She said he was a young man who is trained in firefighting, knows about fires, but that perhaps gives us just some sort of idea of the magnitude of what hit the King Lake area. I came across another gentleman called Christopher Harvey, and this is what he had to tell me about his experience.
It's a disaster. It wasn't a fire. This was everything else that we stayed and looked at before were campfires. This was an absolute inferno. There was no chance of fighting or taking care of this fire. Our whole road's destroyed. Our neighbours are gone. We all built our houses there about 25 years ago because we wanted to live in paradise. We built ourselves mud brick houses, we built ourselves log houses, we built beautiful different homes with our hands because we didn't want anybody else to build. People over the road who had gone, they lived in a caravan whilst they were building their house and we built ours at the same time. They're all gone.
Mr. Harvey, how did you manage to get out?
Look, we left at about 20 to 2. We had to pick our daughter up from the airport, and when nobody warned us, the community fire guard, the tree, nothing worked. The CFA, we had an organisation where somebody would call if there was a fire, and we would get together and warn somebody. You would, with time to leave. This was just so quick. We were driving down the mountain. We could at the end of the road, we could see the plume of smoke. The wind was blowing from the north. The fire was going south. It was in Kilmore. It was a long way from us. And when we were down, coming down the mountain, it was just like a rocket blast of hot air, leaves, debris just blowing across the road. That was when Mount Disappointment, it just went straight across to Mount Disappointment in a second. We got down the mountain, and then our daughter, we rang her up, told her to get out because she'd been up to our farm where there's another fire up in the northeast. And she got out. My family's safe. We've lost our home with all our treasures in it. It was just treasure. It was junk.
Mr. Harvey, how many neighbours do you think you've lost?
All of them. There's only Jean and Steve, and Steve and Leanne and their families. Our next door neighbours are off the mountain because the kid had a doctor, their child had a doctor's appointment. Everybody's gone. Everybody's gone. Everybody. The houses are gone. This is our house. This is our road. That's it. They're all dead in the houses there. Everybody's dead. That's it in the newspaper. They're all dead.
It's
our little
hard.
Dog, our 20-year-old Maltese Terrier, was suffering from the heat. We brought her in because we were going to go back. She's dead. Well,
we hear so much talk about fire plans and being prepared, but it sounds like nothing could have prepared anyone for this.
This was an eruption. The bush erupted. It ignited all at once. It wasn't coming towards you at 10 miles an hour, 10 kilometres an hour like we understand fires with small spots. It was the bottom of the mountain was on fire, and then when the southwesterly wind change came on, it just the whole thing just exploded. It was literally an inferno. It was an inferno.
One of the horrific stories from Victoria's bushfires. Samantha Donovan is on the scene. Well, how are they managing to work out who needs help immediately?
Yes, Brendan, it's a very complex operation. Organisations like the Red Cross and the Salvation Army are here taking lists. The impression I'm sure you got from Mr Harvey's comments, there's such a sense of uncertainty. People don't know where relatives or neighbours are, so they're hoping against hope that they're going to run into people here or have some good news. But yes, people are working feverishly here to find housing. I was up at Wallen at the relief centre there, and earlier today, people are ringing in with offers of housing. So it really is a great community response. But somebody said to me there are about 400 people here. I think there are many more than that, just people everywhere. Of course, a lot of them stayed here last night at the relief centre, and they'll be here for many days to come, I think, Brendan, or relocated somewhere else, because, as we've just heard, with that very horrific scene at King Lake, we know that it is going to take a long time for the assessment teams to sadly recover all the people who've been killed.
I can hear children in the background. How are they coping?
Yes, I suppose parents are doing a very good job of keeping the children happy. Children are running around. The volunteers are making a great job of trying to put some smiles on their faces. At both the relief centres I've been at, and I'm seeing some unloaded from a car right in front of me now, people just keep turning up to donate toys or clothes. So there are plenty of things to keep the children's minds occupied, at least. A lot more troubling, though, for many of the adults, though, here.
Samantha Donovan at a relief centre at Whittlesea, northeast of Melbourne.